My name is Jill Kempf. I'm interviewing my parents, Arliss and Leland Kempf. Today is April 7th, 2018. And I'm going to talk to them a little bit about their time that they spent in Spain from 1960 to 1964. All right, so let's start with, what was it that brought you to Spain in the first place?
The Learys, who we knew well in a suburb of Detroit, Clarenceville, went over there first and they liked it so well and sent back and said, you gotta come. So we came.
But tell them what you were doing.
Oh, I was teaching school at an American air base there to American students.
Okay.
In the high school.
And it was pretty unusual at that time to go live in a different country. How did you two make the decision? Were you both want to go, or was one of you more reluctant?
We were adventurous. We were looking for things to do. We didn't have anything that tied us down. We didn't own a home or anything like that. So we were pretty free to try things.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Learys had sent us such glowing, reports of how much they enjoyed it. So we thought, heck, we can do that.
Okay. And at that point in time, you just had a baby. So you had one daughter,
right?
Jody, my older sister.
Right. She was a year and a half when we went over to Spain.
Okay. And what was the actual trip, like? What? How many airplane flights did it involve?
Well, we left from Madison, Wisconsin, and went to Chicago.
No,
Philadelphia. We flew out of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we had a accident in the air, so we had to land in the Azores to have engine repaired. So we stayed approximately 48 hours in the Azores before we flew on to Madrid.
Wow, I didn't know that. And did you just pack a few suitcases, or did you bring any furniture or anything?
Well, originally we packed the suitcases, but the shipment of furniture came later on.
Okay, so you were able to bring some of your belongings.
Pretty much everything. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I don't recall many restrictions on what we could bring at all.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I still think it's pretty amazing they did that.
Yeah, they just paid for everything then. Okay. When you got to Spain, how did you find housing? I know you had a maid. How did you find a maid? How did you get settled in?
Well, they had a housing bureau and there were a lot of people around that had information on the housing, so we just looked at a number of apartments that were available. They were all apartments. And we found this one on the 9th floor, right next to the Real Madrid soccer stadium.
Yep. And the maid was kind of interesting. Her name was Polly. And she basically came knocking at our door. Our friend Joan had known through her maid, had found out about Polly. And she came knocking on her door and said she wanted to be a maid. She just had a big fight with her Spanish senora and had to get out of there. And she looked good to me. We were we were really happy to have her. And she lived with us then for 4 years. So,
what was the apartment like? How many bedrooms did it have?
It was one big living room, dining room, and two bedrooms, and a maid's area, a small maid's area, and a kitchen.
Yeah, but the entry hall was as big as almost as the living room. It had and two bathrooms, and then the maid had a small bathroom too.
Oh, so it was really pretty.
It was big. Yeah, it was big. I mean, all the rooms were big. It had three bedrooms.
Oh, that's right.
Jody and Joe both had their own bedroom.
And the termites were eating through the floors.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a brand new building, and we would lie there at night, and you could hear them in the floor eating.
Wow.
And it was an era when women had really spiky high heels, you know?
Right.
And it was not unusual for a high heel to go through a real thin part of the floor. And this was a new building.
Wow. Okay. Well, didn't you say, was it termites that congregated near some, or there was some electrical thing?
Oh, no, that was the cockroaches.
Oh, that was the roaches. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, in the kitchen, because we were Americans, they had changed the electricity, so it was, 120 rather than 240 or something, so we could use our appliances. I don't know exactly how, but anyhow, there was this electrical unit up in a cupboard in the kitchen.
Yeah,
and it was just crawling with cockroaches. We never tried to get rid of them because they all stayed
right there.
Right there.
Okay. Cool. So did Polly do, what were her activities for you? Did she cook for you, or?
She would have.
Okay.
She would have cooked for me. I guess I decided I needed to do something.
So
she cooked for herself.
Okay.
She wanted to eat her own style food, of course.
Sure.
And I cooked for us then, and but other than that, she, I had a washing machine, so she didn't have to, you know, some of them had to do hand washing or use an older machine. I had a good new machine, and she hung the clothes. There was a clothesline up on the 9th floor that crossed that open area in the parts of the building, so it crossed to another apartment on the other side.
Yeah.
And we both had these pulley system.
Yeah.
And so up on 9th floor.
Oh, cool.
She hung the, and I've never had such clean, you've never had such clean white diapers as were dried in the sun, in the Spanish sun, I'll tell you.
Right, yeah. Wow, okay. And so she cleaned and she took care of the kids sometime.
Right,
and
yeah. She cleaned up the apartment and, you know, kept it clean. And then just about every afternoon she took, you know, the kids out. There was a big park right behind our building.
Okay.
And there were all kinds of maids, or, you know, chicas is what they were called then, out there. And there was a little bit of playground equipment, right? There was a slide and a couple other things.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't think she minded going out at all, because that was when all these young maids got together. And
cool. Nice. Okay, and then what was your job once you got to Spain?
My first couple years I was at 7, 8, 9 middle school, or 6, 7, 8, whatever it was. And I was teaching physical education and coaching the high school. I had to travel over to the base to coach at the high school. Then a couple years later, I went over to the high school and taught history and physical education.
I didn't know that. So you were coaching the whole time you were there?
Pretty much, yep.
Coaching basketball?
Basketball, football.
Okay. And who, like, this was a military base, an army base?
An Air Force base.
Air Force base. And what teams did those kids play?
Well, in basketball we played a few of the Spanish schools, but in football and most of basketball schedule played against American air bases throughout Spain. There were 4 other bases in Spain, so there was 5 different bases that you played together.
So how many games did they have for a season?
Oh, I think in basketball we must have been close to 20, in football probably 7 or 8.
Okay.
But we played as far away as Châteauroux in France, and our closest basketball game with American schools was 5 hours.
Wow. So did you always travel by bus then?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. I didn't know that. Were the games during the week or on the weekends?
Mostly weekends, travel.
Okay.
Weekends.
Okay.
Well, tell about the tournament you went to.
Oh, we won a tournament in Rome. They played at the Olympic site in Rome, and all the Mediterranean bases were playing there, and we won it.
Wow, okay. So they must have liked you as a coach pretty well.
Oh, yeah, until they came back with switchblade knives. That caused a problem.
Oh, oh, the kids had bought the switchblade knives in Rome?
Yeah, and the general of the base found out about it, and there was hell to pay.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously you weren't aware at the time.
No,
it's not.
No. Yeah. Jim Lehrer and I were stayed in a place together along with the kids, and they had their own rooms so they could go out and come and go as they want.
Okay.
And military kids are pretty independent.
Yeah. Was Jim also a coach?
Yeah, he helped out.
Oh, didn't know that either. Okay. Did you go to a tournament every year, or?
I don't think so. No, I think that was the only big tournament he ever went to, and the other big trip was to Châteauroux up in France, which was a long bus ride.
Okay.
But we did fly to Rome, so that was...
Oh, okay. Okay, and your teaching, you said you taught middle school kids and then moved to high school. These were military kids, right?
Military and also diplomatic kids.
So, well-behaved for the most part, or not?
Same as any place else. You had some good, some bad, but... The one thing that was always there, if the kids screwed up, you talk to somebody and all of a sudden the military-based father of the student talked, the military base commander talked to the father and said, either you get them shaped up or they're going home.
Wow.
So it resolved a lot of problems that we didn't have any major problems. Probably the biggest one was that switchblade knife business that we had.
Right.
But they were pretty much good kids, some really great kids, as a matter of fact, we had.
Okay, that's cool. So how well did the two of you learn Spanish while you were there? Did you try, or?
Well, I was very fluent. I couldn't get my...
Yeah.
I knew enough to get by. Basically, I played basketball with a Spanish team, which I was able to communicate with a little bit.
Oh, you were on a Spanish team? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went all over from Barcelona, all over Spain, traveled.
Wow, okay.
But it was conflict with my job, so it was very difficult.
Okay.
Yeah. And my Spanish?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was good. That was one thing that said it was great. The first year, I knew I needed to learn, you know, and so I had a tutor for a while. For that first year, that came to the apartment, and I got basic sort of stuff. But then the second year, I think it was the University of Maryland that offered Spanish courses there with university credit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I went only 1 year, but it was pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to get 2 years college credit for it.
Okay.
And it was very helpful. You know, yeah. I learned a lot. And what was great was when I came back to Madison and I wanted to go to grad school, I needed a language, and I never had a language.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I had picked up the 2 years credit at, you know, through the University of Maryland and was able to get into grad school with that. So it was great.
Yeah. And did you feel like, could you, at that end of that, could you communicate with Polly in Spanish or?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she never made any effort to learn any English at all. And so everything had to be in Spanish. And I could communicate with her. I always said that my level that I learned was what we call kind of kitchen Spanish, or I could, you know, get along, I could go to stores, I could, you know, communicate with people on a lower level. I couldn't get into intense conversations or anything, but I could always make myself understood, yes.
Okay. Did you have a TV there?
Yeah.
Were there English channels?
No.
No, the only thing that was there is that they had one program that they played English songs on and they lip-synced them in Spanish.
Okay.
One of the girls in our apartment was on the actually on the Spanish show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a real cute high school girl. Yeah, real cute high school girl got on. And
okay.
Yeah, so there was this sort of mixture, you know, but that, no, otherwise everything was Spanish.
Okay, and did you watch that sometimes? Could you understand it well
some
enough?
Some of
to,
it, okay. Yeah.
Well, she brought, it was interesting to see her on it.
Yeah, with the...
Yeah, we always watched that because it was so cool. But...
And their soccer games, that was such a big...
Oh, yeah, sure, sports.
Yeah, you could, sports and things. So we watched some, we didn't use it tremendously, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When John F. Kennedy died, did you see that on the TV? How was that?
We were in a restaurant right below the apartment where we lived and we were having dinner when it was broadcast.
Well, we were actually up in our apartment.
And found out about
we had had a bunch of people going out for dinner. Into this restaurant down below us. And when they came over, we all had just found out that he had been killed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we just stood around stunned, you know. And finally somebody said, well, we need to go eat, you know.
Yeah.
And so we did. But, yeah, we remember that very well.
Yeah.
And there was the city, I don't know, did we go sign the book at the embassy or something? I have sort of recollection of that, but I'm not sure. But yeah.
Well, the Spanish had a very dear love for Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did they try to talk to you about it or sympathize?
No, I didn't know anybody that I would have,
talked to. Okay.
But you were, you know, well aware of the city.
Yeah.
You know, and newspapers and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Let's see. So during the week, I assume you went off to work. You...
Well,
you were taking classes and...
Yeah. I was taking classes and, I mean, I had to... I did all the grocery shopping at the PX or whatever they called in the Air Force. So I had to go there, and that was a few blocks from a few blocks from our apartment. So I would do that probably at least once a week, you know. And I did take 1 year they offered for the wives a class at the Prado.
Oh, cool.
I think it was probably once a week, and it was taught by an American woman, an older woman, who had married a Spanish man and was living in Madrid.
Ah, right.
And she was some sort of an art major or something.
Okay.
So I don't know how long, it was quite a few times we went, and I remember doing that and loving it, you know.
Okay.
It was great. But I also ended up doing substitute teaching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At what grade levels?
I would only do I think I only went to the high school. I went to an elementary school once, but that was not my background in teaching. Yeah. And I think I got a first grade or something, and I walked in that room and I thought, I don't know what I'm doing, you know. And I felt terrible. It was a miserable day. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I said, I won't do elementary anymore because I don't know
The problem was they couldn't get substitute teachers. It was just all the wives of military that were there, basically.
Right. Were just substituting, yeah.
Right.
Did you need, like, if they needed a substitute and you didn't have a teaching degree, would they still take you as...
list of people. They didn't have their stupid...
They didn't have to do that, yeah.
No, there an awful lot of the wives, you know, of the males were teachers, it turned out.
Okay.
And, like, I went in, the longest thing I did was, like, a month-long subbing for the high school librarian who had been in a car accident or something, and she was out for a month, and I took that job. And I had an English major, so it was, And so I loved it.
Yeah.
And that was the reason that when I came back here, I said, if I get a chance to go to library school, I'll do it. And that was kind of the way that all worked out.
Okay. That's neat.
Yeah. But, you know, I substituted in areas I had no expertise, but at least I knew how to deal with kids that age.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So then on the weekends, I mean, were you able to go out with friends most weekends? How did you spend your weekends? Well, I know you traveled some with your team.
During the good weather, we used to get in our Volkswagen, go out and travel the back roads a little bit. Got together with friends and Leary's were very close by, so the Gavilios and Mitchells are four families of us that were fairly close together that shared experiences, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
And the good thing was we all had maids.
Right.
Who could babysit on Saturday nights. So, yeah, we went out a lot.
Yeah.
Just to dinner and stuff, you know, and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Did you like the Spanish restaurants?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you got enough meat there to last a lifetime, beautiful steaks and things.
But they also had stuff like paella and some of the seafood stuff was really good.
Yeah.
Which I had never eaten before, really, before Spain.
Well, not much, no. Yeah. And the one thing that we did with groups of us, we went Tosca hopping.
Okay. So what's that like?
Well, I mean, Toscas are little bars.
Okay.
And we'd go from one to another because each Tosca had a specialty sort of tapa thing that they had. And so you'd, order the tapa, whatever that bar had, and you'd have a small glass of wine. And then you'd walk to the next one, I don't know how many of us, but it might be four or five couples going together. And then we'd end up at, what was that place on the park there? Retiro Park. That Chocolas. It was a coffee place.
Okay.
And we always would end up there with real strong Spanish coffee.
That sounds
except
fun.
That Father wouldn't have that. What would you have?
I know, probably chocolate.
I don't know. Yeah, but so, we did that not quite often.
Okay, and that was something the Spaniards were also doing? That was just a common activity?
No, it was everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody, yeah.
Okay. So, what were some of your favorite places in Madrid?
Restaurants or other?
Yeah, just in general.
Well, the Prado would have to be one. I mean, that art museum was so fabulous. So that had to be one. And we did make it to Retiro Park periodically.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a beautiful big park, and it's kind of the center of Madrid, and we like to take you kids
sure.
to the park, except you weren't allowed on the grass, wasn't that? Yeah.
And then another thing we did not as much was go out to the horse races because there was grass out there.
Oh.
And you could go out there and bet on races, like a dime a race or something like that. And,
yeah.
The kids could play in the grass and horse around out there.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, on Sundays. And sometimes the Sunday morning, the flea market down, it had a special name, downtown Madrid. Rostro, I think.
Rostro. Yeah, because when I traveled there, I think it was still
flea market downtown, okay. And that was fun to go.
Many Sundays, I don't think I ever took, I must probably go to the stamp. Every Sunday morning was a stamp show down at Plaza Mayor.
Oh, okay.
So there.
What, like people put up stands?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, Plaza Mayor used to be a square, which was a housing area for rich families.
Okay.
And so underneath there's a big plaza.
Okay. And was that how you got started in stamp collecting?
No, I had started a little bit before, but that renewed my interest.
Okay. Huh. Sweet.
Well, and that's where that Christmas market was then, too. In the Plaza Mayor, the big Christmas market, and it's where we would buy our Christmas tree, and we've got a
nativity
scene from there, and stuff that we bought there.
That's from the Rostro, and so is that over there?
Oh, the furniture, the hutch
furniture,
and the desk.
I mean, it's not antique, it's fake.
Yeah.
But they would have
it for us.
They would, you'd
order it?
Order it, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then they just delivered it when they were done?
Yep. Put it on pulleys and pull it up over the railing.
Wow. So up on the outside of the building, nine floors.
Yeah, well, not that one, probably. Would have gone in the Frida elevator, but yeah.
Wow. And didn't you say that, I know you have some pictures of us downstairs when we were kids that were professional photographers, didn't you say they came and knocked on the door?
Or? They did.
Okay.
I don't think we ever made appointments. I'm not sure. Or maybe they knocked on the door and we did make an appointment. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yes, they came and took pictures of you kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Just, which was neat.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they were very cheap. I don't have any recollection.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just set up and
took
a bunch of pictures.
Yeah. Huh. Cool. How much did you know about the political situation in Spain before you got there, like Franco and all of that?
Not a great deal before we got there, but we learned rather quickly of what was going on and the problems that were there with it and so forth. When you'd go out on the streets, LaGuardia, they were called, and there's always pairs of LaGuardia marching with their rifles, and they had these patent leather hats on there, just stood out. So you knew that it was a military state, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I must say, I knew very little before I went over there. I should have been more versed in Spanish history, but I wasn't, and you did learn pretty fast what had happened.
How to cool it, too. I mean,
there
are things you didn't stick your nose into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever interact with them at all?
The LaGuardia?
Yeah.
That time they jumped out in front of our car, we were going out in the country, I think, for a weekend or something, and thought we knew about this one inn or hotel or something, kind of out in the country, and thought, let's stay there. And so we were driving, and I think it was already dark, wasn't it?
It was getting dark.
Getting dark. When we turned to go up there, and all of a sudden, out in front of our car, leaped two of these LaGuardia.
Okay.
And, we stopped really fast.
Yeah.
And it turned out we were not allowed to go up there. I don't know if it was Franco himself or someone high up that was staying had taken over the place. And I don't know where we went, but I know we didn't go there.
Yeah, okay. So, but overall, it didn't really affect your life that much.
Not that much, no.
Not unless you let it affect you. I mean, yeah. You didn't go to places where you didn't belong. And
yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
We totally stayed out of it. And at that point, I think the relationship with the U.S. was pretty good.
Well, it was very good.
Yeah.
The Spaniards treated us very well.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Spaniards actually were friendly and...
Oh, yeah.
It's not,
yeah. Yeah, there was never a conflict, you know, that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I imagine, for the most part, you just avoided talking about Franco and the government.
Yeah. I mean, in our Spanish wouldn't have been good enough to carry on a political conversation.
Right.
You know.
Plus,
and
if he didn't want to end up in jail, it was a good idea.
Yeah, and he probably had the closest contact when he was with the basketball team.
Okay. In what way?
Well, traveling with them.
Traveling with them, staying overnight, eating with them two, three meals.
When you were... not the coaching, but when you were actually playing. Okay. But again, did any of those players speak English?
Well, Roberto, the manager of the team did, and several of the other guys had a smattering of it, enough so we could communicate. The one thing I remember vividly, we went out to eat the first time. I was up in along the coast. It was in Barcelona, and we went out to eat. And they all ordered, and I said, well, somebody can order for me, just order me. You have to order yourself. Either you order it yourself or you don't get it, and that, at least that.
Well, you wanted steak and
French fries.
Okay.
And they were all probably having seafood, and you know.
Yeah.
First time I ate calamaris out on the coast there.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's
yeah.
Good. How did you find the team?
Well, Real Madrid had a basketball team, and I knew they had one, and I'm not exactly sure how I ended up going down there, but I went down there, and it wasn't exactly a tryout. It was just going down, and I practiced with them a couple times, and they only could have two Americans per team.
Oh.
And the Americans on that team were pretty good, and they're being paid. They're full-time.
Yeah.
And so they referred me to the Estudiantes, which is with the team that I played with.
Okay. Huh. Fun. Okay.
And we practiced outdoors. We did not have an indoor court.
Wow. In the summertime or just in the winter?
Year round.
Wow. That must have been pretty hot.
Well, summer is the basketball season, but winter is, so it was pretty cool.
Oh, I see. What do the temperatures get down to?
On occasion, it might get below freezing, but not very often.
I think we had snow two or three times while we were over there. You know, just this teeny couple inches at most.
Yeah.
But it shut down the city, basically.
Okay.
One of the funniest things with the snow, the Americans weren't going to call out the school that day.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody had to be bussed out to Torrejon Air Base where the school was.
Okay.
And we got halfway out there, and there was a hill about like that. And it was just a disaster area. And in order to get back, then we found out school was going to be called off. And then in order to get back to Madrid, I bet we pushed 10 to 15 cars up that hill so that car could get up. Luckily, they had almost all small cars at that time.
Right, okay. cool. So you traveled quite a bit while you were there in Europe, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it was great because we were with the schools and we had school vacations, you know.
Oh, right.
And so we had the summer and we had probably a week at spring break and at least a week at Christmas time. Yeah. And So, yeah, then we use that time to travel around Europe, right? Or okay. just travel, like in spring break, we might just travel south in Spain, you know, yeah. and stay down there.
A couple of interesting trips. Our first Thanksgiving there, I think it was the first one, there was a flight to London. I had forgotten. I don't know why it came to my mind now. Remember, we flew up to London over that one break at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that probably because I was pregnant.
I don't know.
No, it wouldn't have been that one. It would have been a year later. Yeah.
And another trip that we took from Spain, the coaches down at Sevilla, they have the Feria down there, this great big festival.
Okay.
And the coaches down said, we're going to be gone. If you want to use our apartment, go ahead. And you couldn't get an apartment there.
Wow.
It was just jammed, the city was.
Okay.
So we went down there for 3 or 4 nights.
And it was just really interesting.
Wait, was this at Easter? What time of year
Was it? Would have been spring, Easter. Easter. Well, it would have been our spring break.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been Easter, I don't think, because that's when the,
but it was our spring break somehow. I don't remember exactly.
So what kind of festival is it?
Oh, they all throughout the day, they're on horses, women riding side back, and all these costumes and the carriages going by, big fairgrounds where you could drink and party. And,
okay.
Yeah. And like each wealthy family, or maybe not even all that wealthy, you know, several families I think might have gone together, and they set up tents in this park.
Okay.
And they were partying then within these tents, the whole family, you know.
Okay.
And so you'd walk through, and we got into a couple of them, didn't we? I mean, they were all private.
Yeah.
But I think we might have been invited in or something, but it was just, and, you know, singing and dancing and horse riding, and the señoritas in there, beautiful. When you picture, I mean, there are so many pictures of these women up on the horse behind a handsome man holding on with the
flowing dress
with all these ruffles up and everything. And that's really what it was.
Okay.
Huh. I don't know how much it, you know, all these years later, but I bet it's quite similar.
And the other big celebration, Santa Semana, which is around Easter time, and they carry the crosses down through the streets.
Crosses. Yeah. And that's like they're wearing, all these men are wearing these white hooded things. It's kind of scary looking.
Oh, kind of creepy a little bit.
Long parades, and then they're
very silent with just the drums beating.
And they take usually one or two of the monuments out of the church and walk them down through the street. And they're very heavy.
Very heavy and very elaborate and probably quite old.
Yeah.
And they walk in the street and everything is quiet. And
so it's, I mean, I imagine it's meant to evoke the somber mood of Christ's death.
Yeah, I think it was on Good Friday probably that they would have held this. We saw it north. What was the city up there? Santiago de Compostela.
We didn't see it there, though, I don't think, did we, though?
I thought we did.
Oh, did we? Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know for sure where, but we did see them, you know.
Yeah. Did they do it in Madrid as well?
I'm sure.
In different areas of Madrid, different local churches.
Neighborhoods,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Okay. And and then what were, like, your favorite trips outside of Spain?
Well, the big ones that we took were in the summer.
Yeah.
The first one was kind of southern Europe.
The Riviera, going all the way down to Rome.
Right.
And back up. Then.
Okay.
And then the second big one we took was up through Germany. Well, you were... No, what?
Didn't no. We, it was, well, we hit Germany on that first summer trip because Terry was with us, right. And we were in Munich and Garmisch then, then that's when Jill had been born then. That was their first summer, and Jill was born that next February then.
Okay.
And then by the following Christmas, you were not quite a year old, and Pauly stayed with you in the apartment, and we drove up in our little Volkswagen Bug with Jody to Garmisch and spent it in Garmisch, and that was beautiful in the mountains in the
lots
winter.
Of snow.
Oh, gorgeous, and it was cold.
It was cold. People were one of the only cars that could get started.
Yeah, people would bring their batteries into the...
into a restaurant or whatever?
Well, into the hotel overnight. Yeah.
Oh, I see, okay.
Yeah, and then that next summer we flew home to here just for the summer, and then the following summer we went to Scandinavia.
Okay.
And that was a wonderful... I mean, we were camping all these trips. Not the Christmas one, but these trips, we were camping.
Okay, so you'd stop and put up a tent each night
Well, we stayed like in Oslo. They have a big campground. You just stay there, you know, and that's the way it was. And, I'm trying to think. Some of the smaller trips, though... Probably at Easter time, we would go out and stay in the Paradors.
What's a Parador?
What's a Parador? Tell her.
It's an old building, usually a castle or a cathedral or something like that, that they've turned into a very nice hotel, motel type thing. And you'd stay there overnight and you'd get your meals, which are always very good. And
there's good...
In this room that's probably 200-300 years old like that.
Yeah, maybe even older. Yeah. It was, they were in the process of, trying to get the tourist thing going. And so they had these marvelous Paradors. Well, remember when your parents came over, which was the end of the first year there, and we went down to Granada, right? And stayed in the Parador there with your parents and Terry. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that they had come over.
It was probably only a week or 10 days or something. Yeah. And then Terry stayed.
Oh, that was when Terry stayed for the summer.
Right, and stayed for and traveled with us, yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so...
So now you know everything you need to know.
Yeah. Well, it's the end of the interview because the time's running out. So thank you. I'll end this now. And done. Are you sure you're finished recording yet?